Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you are having a great one out there. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday edition of Playmakers. Have your host, James J. I am joined by Michael Comer.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good to see you, bud. Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time, as always, and appreciate all of you joining us. Phone lines are wide open. Give us a call at 715-424-2600. Whatever sports feelings, thoughts, takes, ramblings you have, we want to hear them. This is the place to go. It's a safe place. Bring all those weird sports thoughts to us. We want to hear them, everybody. We want to hear from you. We want to thank our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Michael and I got plenty to talk about today. We're going to get into some River Kings talk about the college football announcement, of course, with all the placement of these teams and who is angry, who is not, who is higher seated than they should be. The sports awards are a celebration is coming up tomorrow. I want to talk about that a little bit. I got some other stuff too, but Michael, if you don't mind, I would like to. You know, I got a good stat of the show a little bit later. We'll wrap up looking at the college and the NFL schedules. We'll talk some Brewers if we get a chance too. I did want to send a shout out to them a little bit, but do want to get right here with. Where everybody's focus was yesterday and locked into. And it was an intense time, and I understand that. But the NFL trade deadline is done. The NFL trade deadline is done, everybody.
So yeah, I got sick and tired of seeing ads about that.
I know. You know, the attack ads were really weird to see. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, why would you want to go to Chicago or Detroit?
Right. It's just weird.
Come to Penn State.
I love the idea of attack ads. Like they got nothing to do in the offseason, so they just start working with the NFL team. Now, let's not give them ideas. You know what? I'm going to shut up.
The closest thing we had was, Reggie, this is God. Oh, okay. Come to Green Bay.
And you're not going to get better for you. You're not going to get better one than that. I did want to start with the NFL trade deadline. Some interesting moves that happened, and some interesting things. Now, I think that, you know, we got to start local here, and with the Green Bay Packers trading Preston Smith.
Okay.
I don't think it's far-fetched to say that if you are a Packer fan or just that you focus on the NFC North like I do and all our listeners pretty much do, you're thinking, well, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers are all buyers. You know, arguably the Bears will be sellers, but what do they have to sell as far as what they're willing to part with because they're trying to build something?
Right. They're loaded at receiver, maybe pick up another running back. I know they traded a running back.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert.
Yep, they traded him away, but how much did he really play, do all that fun stuff?
Yeah.
Interesting that you brought that up. I mean, I know we're going to talk about Preston here, but, you know, Za'Darius Smith going to Detroit. I've never had a problem with Za'Darius as a player. He's solid. I mean, I thought that was really cool. You know, he'd do a sack and they'd army crawl, throw a grenade. Yeah. I mean, that was funny. I still think it's funny.
Yeah.
But as long as he decides to play and not complain about an injury and feel slighted somewhere, he'll be good for Detroit. He'll give them an added pass rush. But that I still have a little bit of bitterness of the, like we talked about last week with Diva defensive backs.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a little bit of that with him. Because, I mean, I will say this much. When he came back through most of that missing most of that season with a back injury, and I'm not going to fault anybody for needing surgery for an injury. That's a legit thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that first couple possessions, he was playing with his hair on fire against San Francisco in the divisional game. And then it got really quiet.
Yeah.
It's like he blew his wad right then, and that was the end of it.
I'm kind of curious to know what number he'll wear for Chicago next year when he completes the trifecta of playing for all the NFC North teams. I'm very curious.
Are you sure he might not stop with the New York Packers first?
Maybe. Actually, yeah, he'll probably be a Jet. He'll definitely be a Jet. Absolutely. He'll definitely be a Jet. So the Green Bay ends up being sellers and not buyers. And while not necessarily trading the house or the farm, it immediately becomes a question mark for most people that are paying attention to this. They're the only team in the division that sold other than Chicago. And that seems odd with a team that is so built to win now. And going forward, it's not just about competing for a championship today, but for the next 8 to 10 years. So it seemed a little odd at first. And then we hear kind of, you know, or I should say you have a second to think about it. You think, well, salary cap right away. And my immediate thought was, oh, what are they working on? because they're freeing up cap space to bring some big fish in.
That was my second thought, actually.
And then we get the news today that it turns out that Preston Smith requested a trade a couple of weeks ago, yeah. and they were just finally able to work it out, find a partner and all that. I got to say a real quick shout out to the Pittsburgh Steelers ownership and GMs.
Goodness.
And I mean, the way that they run things over there, it's got to be great to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, man. It really seems like a great team to root for. Like you never seem to have your head down, even in bad years. But regardless, I thought that I had questions going into the trade when I first heard it. I have even more now. And not really about Green Bay, but why Preston Smith would want to leave such a good situation in a team that is ready to win going forward. He knows that locker room better than I do. I would think that that's a locker room you want to be in, unless you're not getting the playing time that you think you should and all that. But it just seemed different, weird. It didn't seem like what I would have expected. And then I was really surprised they didn't make one darn move. And that I seemed like... There's moves to be made. Like there's no way that they couldn't have used an extra corner. That they couldn't have used. You can mention a couple of pieces. It's not that they have holes, but it's.
They have opportunities to upgrade.
Yeah, and at the very least, do what some of these teams did, like Cincinnati. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're gonna try.
Yeah.
And they need running back depth, so they bring in a Khalil Herbert for 7th rounder. They got nothing for nothing, and that's a great back. Now he's not going to be your starter,
no.
But when you need somebody to grind for you, take a couple carries off of your starting running back, Chase Brown's plate or whatever. That he's a great back for that. I've seen it. He's a good back for those things, and it costs you nothing. You're adding depth to your team. So if that guy does go down, it's not the end of the season. Maybe it's in part, too, because I have heard some complaints about this. And I would say, well, you know, Green Bay kind of got started early in the trade deadline and bringing in Malik Willis. And I think you could see right now the biggest hole that on that team was backup quarterback. And they fixed that. I would feel pretty confident about that if I was a Packer fan.
Yeah.
So it really they did make
and,
a move.
And kicker. They upgraded
exactly,
there too.
Exactly. Yes. So really they've already fixed the hole. So I mean that's part of the reason why they probably didn't need to necessarily. I'm sure that they made offers. I'm sure Gutekunst was on the phone. But I guess those phone calls probably didn't last very long.
Well, and it's the same thing I talked about last week. It's baseball to football. It's the two teams I follow, Green Bay and St. Louis. They are very similar in that regard. Now, with Preston Smith, he was brought in when Green Bay really retooled that personnel-wise, that defense, because they were a 3-4 defense from when they won the Super Bowl, and since then they found coordinators that kept that player set. Well, now they slipped to, what, a 4-3, I want to say? Yeah. Or 4-4, I forget.
4-4.
Okay, 4-4. There is a difference, and Preston is a 3-4 guy. And how many times in... I'd have to go back and look at the defensive mistakes, mm-hmm. penalties there. How many times did he line up offsides this season? Because I can remember two or three against Tennessee.
Yeah, I was going to say Tennessee.
And that's the thing is, when you are, and I never played the sport, but I've watched enough about it, and I've watched enough tape, and I've had enough conversations, I feel pretty confident in what I'm talking about here. When you have that four, you have your two on each side of the ball, so to speak. And then you might have outside linebackers playing up. Well, you are used to playing more centrally located where you're lining up over maybe the B gaps of the guard and the tackle. Okay. Well, now you're playing where you're going to have basically two nose tackles on both A gaps, and then you're playing out maybe a little further on the outside of the tackles. And that's not where you're a professional. You should be able to do it, but I don't think that the scheme maybe fit his skill set, and he's like, you know, for me to play and to be really helping, I got to go elsewhere. And Pittsburgh's always been a 3-4. And, okay, well, Pittsburgh it is. I mean, he probably didn't want to go to a losing team like Dallas or something like that, whatever they run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Dak Prescott sitting there as, boy, we blank suck. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, I saw that. I'm like, he didn't say that, and I saw the video.
It's
and
so
yes,
rough.
He sure
That's
did.
So rough.
So that's why I just kind of say, you know what, he wanted to go, and it was amicable. It wasn't, I don't think, any bad stuff like Zadarius kind of was, or Martellus Bennett. That was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to go. Okay, get the heck out of here. This one was, hey, it just ain't working.
Yeah,
in the words of Mark Knopfler, that ain't working. And okay, well, let's get something. And that That was the main thing. The second part was, once I heard the numbers and the structure and that Pittsburgh was taking it, they're going to do something at some point in the offseason. Now, does that bring up a wide receiver? That, because I don't know if Christian Watson's going to stick around.
Oh, yeah.
Musgrave, nothing against Musgrave because I like him. But I think Tucker Kraft has proven he is the tight end number one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an offensive lineman. They bring in her, a couple of them. I think they're going to still continue to build depth through the defense, through the draft. That's what they're going to do. Whereas, like, in the 90s, I mean, I could talk for hours about it. In the 90s, what did Green Bay do? They drafted the offense. Mm-hmm. And maybe, and now they did pick up free agents, like Keith Jackson, Don Beebe, Andre Rison. Okay. But they also picked up free agents, Sean Jones out of Houston, Reggie White out of Philly, Santana Dotson out of Tampa, Eugene Robinson, Mark Pryor.
How did anybody ever run on that team? Like, how did anybody ever?
Well, Terrell Davis did in the biggest time that he could, and that's unfortunate. But you get what I'm saying is, I think it's a calculated move. Hmm. It was someone that wanted to go that they could go, and now is it going to hurt? Well, we'll see. I mean, Green Bay's next few games a couple weeks ago looked, oh, who cares? But now it's looking, oh, well, those teams are getting healthy again, so let's see what happens. So we'll see. But I think it was all in the up and up. He wanted to go. Green Bay felt, okay, hey, we want to help you out. You've been great for us. Let's get you something for you. And who's to say that Green Bay doesn't trade a seventh and a sixth to move up into the fourth?
Yeah,
yeah. I think one thing that is also clear with the Matt LaFleur-run team, and maybe it's Gutekunst, maybe it's LaFleur, or both of them, they are definitely a locker room team.
Yes.
They're a team that they want a healthy locker room.
Yep.
And I think that they will do that even spite of talent, that they will bring in a guy who's, you know, they'd rather have a guy who's a three than a five, but the three has a better attitude. And honestly, that works for teams. Like, I think we see that locally with our teams, with our Rafters and our River Kings.
Yep.
I think we see that on a larger level with plenty of teams that have that kind of structure. Your Cardinals are one of those teams that tends to do a lot of that.
There's a few guys that DeWitt and God, what's his name? But DeWitt, he more or less said, you're a problem. You need to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, did that upset the clubhouse a little bit? Yeah. But did it help them out during the course of that season? Yep, sure did.
Yeah. I'm looking at the trade deadline, and I think that there's a couple of moves. We'll wait and see what moves really worked out for people, but we don't have to wait to see if DeAndre Hopkins is going to work out in Kansas City, because that feels like that was a pretty good move by them.
I think it was. I mean, especially for them being a team that's that wide receiver is arguably their weakest spot.
Yeah.
That was one, but do they still have enough to me, I see a lot out of them. Of what I saw out of the 2011 Packers. You're winning your games, you're winning close games, you're playing well in the regular season. I still think, even though Baltimore got beat by them in the first game, I think Baltimore's a better team.
Mm.
I think Buffalo might be a better team. Hmm. And Denver, they're sneaky. Denver's sneaky.
There's a couple of sneaky teams in the AFC, yeah.
So, Pittsburgh, that's another one.
That's the other one. That's what I was thinking.
That I'm sitting there, it stinks because I've always kind of had a soft spot for Kansas City and Pittsburgh as well. That if I wasn't a Packer fan, I'd probably be one of those two.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I just say they're going to get caught somewhere. And when they go, and I understand the weather. The weather is a big neutralizer. Both teams got to play in it. But when you, arguably, if you want to take that two-point conversion play, which if you get it, does Kansas City march down the field? Do they not? I don't know. But when you are playing against Baker Mayfield, who's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now, who doesn't have any real strong receivers, now what? I don't know, my friend. He took you guys just about to the mat.
I'm stuck in a weird situation here with this because, for one, I refuse to bet against Patrick Mahomes, even if it's just him. I mean, like, literally just Mahomes out there. There's no O-line. There's no receivers. I'm still betting on him. That's how much I believe in this kid, and I just feel like he's that good.
But we're starting to see some injuries.
I also believe that it's almost impossible to three-peat in football. Like, I don't know if there's a tougher sport to three-peat in. Certainly baseball's a great option or throw out there, but
hasn't happened since the 60s Packers.
It's hard to imagine somebody, a team doing that, especially in this day and age. And like you just said, the injuries are piling up and some of those things. And one other thing with that team that for me that stands out. So, you know, you go back, you don't have to go too far back, and we've seen plenty of teams that have done this. I just used the Bears as an example because I've obviously watched them. Yeah. But the last time the Bears went to the Super Bowl, 900 years ago.
Yeah, 2008, I was in college. Wow. My last year of college.
Every ball bounced their way. They had a talented team. Oh, a great defense. A very talented defense. Not a bad offense, but not a Super Bowl caliber offense.
Arizona let them off the hook.
But they had every ball bounce their way. Yes. The very next season, couldn't be more opposite.
Oh man, they were bad.
Every single ball bounced literally the opposite direction. Kansas City has had 2 years of this where every ball seems to bounce their way. That runs out. You can't build on that. Well, they have built on that, but you can't count on that. You can't count on that happening. Like, hey, you know what? Things are just going to work out. Eventually, the chickens come home to roost. Eventually, you're not going to be able to live on that. I want them to be honest with everybody. I don't really have anybody in the race here. But if I got to choose, I want to see Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. And after that, I don't care if they win or lose. I just want to see him in a Super Bowl. It's one of the most. I still think. That the Larry Fitzgerald in the Super Bowl, especially that second half, I've never seen a wide receiver change a game before like that, let alone in the Super Bowl. Like that man alone changed that game in that second half to where Arizona almost won that thing.
And arguably should have.
Yeah, yes. I think that we've seen a couple of performances like that in Super Bowls, but I still think, and the more I think about this, the more I'm going to stand on this one. I think the best performance I've seen by a quarterback in the Super Bowl was Mahomes in the losing effort to Tampa Bay. I've never seen a guy trying so hard when everybody knows, hey, you don't really have much of a shot in this one. You've got two guys doing your offensive line that are garbage men in the daytime. This isn't their main job. They grab two guys out of the stands to work to play the offensive line in that game, and this guy is going out there and making play after play after play, just trying so dang hard to keep his team in it. I'm used to seeing as a kid Steve Grogan or whatever, and just looking scared as all get out to see that 85 Bear team or something like that. Seeing Reggie White and just intimidating
Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe was never the same. He was never the same after that. Literally, physically and mentally, I think. Like I've seen that. I haven't seen a quarterback who has ever reason to phone it in. He's the face of the league. He's all these things. He's got, you know, years and years ahead of him and everything. Go ahead, man. Just look, you didn't win this one. Go ahead and pick. No quitting this kid. Just kept going out there and fighting and fighting and fighting. You can't ask for much more in a quarterback. I think one of the things that talent scouts need to look to when they're talking about quarterbacks, and we're talking about how do we find 32 great quarterbacks, not just good, not just guys that can complete, you know, 50% of their passes. I'm talking great. How do you find 32 of them? Going forward, it's not just the mobile quarterback. It's not just the guy that can run and pass or anything like that. It's between the ears.
Yes.
How creative are they? Can they improv?
Yes, absolutely.
The thing that gets me so excited about Caleb Williams, it has nothing to do with his measurements, anything to do he did in the combine. It's every highlight I've seen of him and what he may do out of a horrible offensive line at USC or some of the situations that he's in. When he has such a creative improv nature to him.
Right, and that's the same thing that I always said about Justin Fields, was if you can make him stand in the pocket and beat you with his arm, he won't. And as of so far, and I started seeing this a little bit in the college game at USC. You didn't see it as much at Oklahoma, but you saw it more at USC. You contain him, make him beat you with his arm. He doesn't, I won't say never does it, but it's tougher for him. Now, you let him move around. You let him play, draw it up in the dirt, schoolyard ball. All bets are off, and the same thing with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And that was the thing of where I saw Green Bay and Detroit and Minnesota and whoever, if they could contain them, they were going to beat them.
some of these kids, they got to, at a certain point, I think you got to let the, you got to take the handcuffs off.
Yes.
You just got to let them play. Yep. You just got to let them play, and whatever happens, happens. Let them figure it out, because you can only figure it out in real time. This is not a job that you can do and figure out. And now, a good offensive lineman will tell you if a guy is going to make it at quarterback or not. But for the most part, as a coaching staff and everything, you've got to see these guys in these two-minute drills, how they're playing when they're down, all of those things. The body language is so important. And that's where I want to go next with the Lions and Packer game, because I spent last couple of weeks talking about Jordan Love's body language and how impressed I was with it, and how that to me is the kind of quarterback you want. That's the kind of thing, that the attitude that you want to see. I saw for the first time in his career the bad body language and some of the Aaron Rodgers that he's learned and everything. And that's one game, one moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the whole game. It was one moment or two. So it wasn't much.
I'm happy you brought that up, because the only one time I saw him do that was when he didn't get enough air on that lob pass attempt to Jacobs, and it got picked and ran back for a touchdown, pick six. That was the only time I saw him show being dejected, and it wasn't at anybody else but himself. And that's the kicker there. Is, I mean, you can say what I want, or you can say what you want about it. You can say what I want about it, and I'll tell you if you're right. But you can say what you want about it. That's arguably two games that Green Bay shot themselves in the foot. Did the better team win? I'm not so sure it did. Mm. But, I mean, how many times do you got to hit a guy right in the hands? How many false starts do you need to have? That pick six doesn't help. A missed field goal, which I'm not mad about, a missed field goal, 46 yards in the driving
in
rain and
weather,
wind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be too upset about that, but not finishing drives, settling for three instead of getting those seven. I mean, I understand that with each play, it changes the what play calls are made on the other side then, and everything that goes with it. But you can't keep giving teams big leads and then trying to come back in the second half, which is what they really tried to do. But you had, what, two touchdown passes dropped in the end zone in that game, missed field goal. You left 4 points on the field. You had the momentum, and you're stopping Detroit's offense.
I'm getting so confused by these coaches that they are you in the game or not? Are you going to keep fighting or not?
Yep.
So you're fighting. You're down by two scores. You go for a field goal in the red zone?
Yeah.
Like, what? And then, okay, you're out of the game. All right, so why is Jordan Love still out there?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the guy with the broken groin still out there?
Yep.
Why don't you give him a couple of series to heal here a little bit and everything, or something? Like, there's some things that go on, and it's not just this coaching staff.
It's
every coaching staff. That just, you're sitting there and like, these guys are paid millions of dollars to do this. Like, what is going on here? What is the thought process? And they won't explain it to any of us, because that we're, you know, the that's
yeah, what
not
do we
what
know?
They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is mind-boggling sometimes to see this stuff, and especially the leaving the player in the game when the game is out of hand. I you can tell me all day that Caleb Williams needs experience in a two-minute drill, and
he just
got done saying that the only way he can get that experience is in real time. I get all of this, but let's not pretend that this isn't a business. You got a lot invested in that kid. You got a lot invested in Jordan Love. You got a lot invested in Jalen Hurts and these quarterbacks that had no business being out there with 2 minutes left in the game for a blowout or a game that's two scores away or any of this. You play, if you are smart about this game, whether you're a GM, offensive coordinator, the head coach, or anything like that, mm-hmm. you have to be able to do two things at once in your brain. Think about right now. Win, win, win. Also, what are we doing next year? What are we doing the year after that? How are we going to survive? And in order to do that, you're going to need a young quarterback. You're going to need a healthy young quarterback.
Yeah, you are. And that's the other part of it, too, is we've talked about Dan Campbell and how much you love the guy. And I think he was a great hire, and everything went the way it should there. The one area where I will say with Mr. Dan Campbell was a year ago against Kansas City to start the season when they did that fake punt deep in their end zone. And I said, he was trying to win a game today to prove a point, and he did prove a point. But he's trying to win a game today that honestly doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is a play. Do you want to blow it in the first game? And he did.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that that I'm, now, if we were to talk to him right now about it, would he say, no, that was still the right call. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. But was it a play that maybe, and I didn't get a chance to see that NFC title game. I was at a River Kings game. And I didn't see how if that play would have helped because they had the same problem that Green Bay had. I mean, how many times has the ball got to hit you in the hands and you won't hold on to it? Right. I understand that but from the highlights and what I was told. But, man, Dan, that was a play maybe you should have held on to later. And okay, so what? You play to win the game, as it has been said many a times. But was that first game of the year on national TV against Kansas City, maybe you're trying to prove something to the fan base of the team and the ownership by going all in that game? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. That might be. I mean, I would love to hear his thought process on it if he didn't announce it. But that's one where why blow it then?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. You know, it's interesting. I believe that Dan Campbell went to the Tom Thibodeau School of Coaching, where I'm just going to grind my players into the ground and next man up.
Riverboat Ron.
Exactly. I don't know that model ever works. That's the thing that holds me back a little bit about Detroit. Everything that actually one of the biggest reasons I think Detroit could win a Super Bowl is also the reason I think they couldn't is their head coach. They got a talented team. They've done that GM is awesome and has done some really great work. That franchise is going. I think it's going to be a long time before they become a laughing stock again. Like they're building.
They're going to be relevant.
Built, you know, over there. All that being said, you know, Tom Thibodeau's a regular season coach. His players are broken by the time the playoffs come around.
Yep.
I know this better than most. I've seen it so many times. I should still be watching. I should be seeing Derrick Rose end his career right now. He should be wrapping up his career right now.
Yep.
Instead, he's out there. I don't know what he's doing, but it ain't playing basketball. It ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk some River Kings. We'll have our stat of the show coming up for you as well. We'll get into our NFL and college football weekends as well, all that, and we'll get into our local schedule here. And Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James hanging out with you this afternoon. Feel free to give us a call, 715-424-2600. Call up. Make sure the phones are working. We just want to hear from you. Love to hear from you. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. We got some River Kings conversation to have. We will get into a little bit of Bucks and Brewers talk. If we have time, I'd like to get into the Heisman candidates right now. I'd like to touch on that if we have time. And certainly we'll wrap up looking at our schedule in the college and NFL schedules for the weekend. But I got our stat of the show, Michael. Got our show to stat of the show here, and it involves Mr. Patrick Mahomes. And I wanted to mention Kansas City is also kind of a cousin team to me as well. My papa growing up, his best friend was from Kansas City. They went to go see a bunch of games there, so he talked highly of the Chiefs forever and got me really into the running back situation over in Kansas City when they had Barry Word and Christian Okoye. They had Marcus Allen for a little while there and stuff. It was some fun teams with Montana and Allen on that team and stuff. There were some fun teams back then.
Probably we could have Favre and Barry Sanders in that conversation, too. They'd still be winning Super Bowls.
So outside of even just the excitement of watching a Patrick Mahomes or something, I have a love for Kansas City as well. And Patrick Mahomes is 47-19 in games decided by 7 points or fewer.
Okay.
47-19. And he's 8-2 in overtime in his whole career. That includes playoffs. I really love the story of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
In college, didn't really have a feeling about him one way or the other, like a lot of the headliners in college football. I just enjoy seeing them play. I don't really have much. I don't know these guys that well yet. Comes into the pros, and I really respected the way that he kind of just took everything on. And didn't make any. I didn't hear excuses from him, and I don't believe that we ever have heard excuses from Baker Mayfield. And while so many people were so quick and ready to like bring out the bus label and everything on him, all he kept doing was trying to go out there and prove himself. Playing hurt, playing for a franchise that didn't seem to really want him.
Three coaches in 4 years.
Incredible what he has done with his career to where he is now, where he's an actual MVP candidate right now. Yeah. You have to take that seriously. He's done what he did in that game. game yesterday was way more impressive than what Patrick Mahomes did, which was very impressive in itself. But, I mean, doing what he did with the backup receivers that he had and some of those things and everything, just he's had an impressive career, and I love to see his bounce back. There is no way, you know, the famous scene of ripping the monkey off of Steve Young's back,
yep.
that whole bus label should never have been put on him. And if anybody is still trying to, you can rip that off. That's not there. So all that being said, it's so impressive to see what Mahomes is pulling off. And these stats are just staggering to me when you consider how fragile winning is in the NFL.
Yeah.
Every year we've got a team that surprises us, and then the next year that team usually fades away. You know, for every franchise that you've got that are pretty consistent, even they have their down years.
Oh yeah, Green Bay's had it. New England, New England, they've kind of fallen off recently.
Yeah,
but man, since about the middle of since about what the middle 90s, yeah, there's been a couple of years where Green Bay's been down. But they've been consistently one of the better teams since the mid-90s. Yeah, so, I mean, for the over 30 years.
It would impress me. Trust me. I see it from the cheap seats, so yeah, it's very impressive.
What you're saying about those numbers, though, and run those past me one more time.
So Mahomes is 47-19 in games decided by 7 points or fewer.
And that's playoffs, regular season?
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So how many of those were to Tom Brady?
Right.
Yeah. And then 8-2 in the playoffs?
8-2 in overtime, yes.
Okay, yeah. And how many of those were against the Bills?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many of those were against Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if the Cincinnati one went to... No, the Cincinnati one didn't go to... No.
But there's been a couple Bills games, and there's been a couple New England games. So.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's gone up against Josh Allen, who's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, mm-hmm. one of the best, I will mm-hmm. say, and then, you know, good old cheating Tom, but...
Mm. Yeah, Brady's always going to have that over him. He'll always have that. But Allen and him have such a fun... Like, they're not rivals. These are two guys. They're friends off the field and everything. But they on the field, they're rivals. And that's a fun one to watch happen.
It is.
And it's not going anywhere anytime soon. That's going to be that way for a long time. Another impressive turnaround with Josh Allen. Another one where, you know, the book is written on him. He can't complete a pass. He's in the playoffs throwing a 40-yard bomb to a fullback. Like, I mean, you know, some of that. And then what does he do? He comes around. He works on it in the offseason. Works on his accuracy, has a good quarterback coach, and completely changes the directory of his career. Like, it's a whole different ball game now with him, where he's a walking first down, and you cannot take his arm lightly. Arm of his. It's cool to see.
It is.
Want to talk a little River Kings with the voice of the River Kings for this season and going forward. Michael
good,
Comer.
Better, good, bad, better for worse.
We've got some fun games coming up. We've got the Kings in action tomorrow. They'll be taking on the Dell Ducks. That'll be in the Dells. And then we've got two home games coming up this weekend as the Kings are back at the South Loup County Rec Center. 7 o'clock puck drop as we take on the Northwest Express in both these games. For those that haven't been able to see, the River Kings have moved up to second in the standings in the Northwest Division. Shout out to them for that. I think one of the things, Michael, that I want to talk about right away with this team, and I talked about this with Coach in the offseason a little bit. I would say that last year's team wanted to do this more. I don't know if they pulled it off or not. I'd have to go back and look and everything. Yeah. But this year's team is peppering the net.
Yes, they are.
Just throwing these pucks out there. And I think, you know, when it comes to the game of hockey, even people that watch the game, there's certain parts of it you may not see. You got to read between the lines a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so many of these shots are not necessarily intended to go in. They're intended to be a bounce.
Yeah,
they're
hit intended some, to get some the traffic out there.
And give your guys in there something else, what I was talking about earlier, creativity and being able to improv and being able to take that and, okay, I'm getting this rebound. I know I'm getting the rebound before the goalie does. So I have a half a second before the goalie has a chance to turn or turn his head to look at me or any of these things.
Raise the glove, blocker, whatever it is.
Where am I going with this? I'm going 5-hole, going up. What am I doing? And the real creative guys are able to take advantage of those moments, like Sidney Crosby or Alex Ovechkin. Certainly some of the younger players right now that are coming into the league that are able to do that. What we're seeing with the Kings is seeing a team that is not only peppering the net, but they are protecting the net. And that's so hard to pull off, to have a team that is versatile enough that can do that, to have forwards that can be defensemen, to have centers that can be blockers. It's a really well-crafted team. It's really fun to be watching right now.
That was one thing I was going to say, was just how many shots on goal they are getting. And are they all going to go in? No. When they don't, you start getting frustrated, and I understandably so. But how well that defense is playing by stopping pucks from even getting to the goaltending, and then the goalies, the stops they're making. I would have to look at the stats here, and that's something I'm going to be doing tomorrow and early part of Friday as I prepare for this weekend's games, which I'll talk a little bit in a moment about. They are doing such a good job of playing complementary hockey. We talk about complementary football. They're playing complementary hockey.
Yeah.
They're scoring goals, and they're keeping the other team from scoring. Now, that sounds like, oh, well, holy crap, Mike. You know, that's a smart statement. No, think about it here. I need to go down, break it down a little more. In the words of DX, break it down.
Yeah.
Other things I could say that can wait.
Yes,
but
yeah.
but they are doing such a very good job of stopping the rubber from getting to the goalie, and the goalies are making the saves, and half the time those saves are made a lot easier because they're getting slowed down in that process. Now, does that catch 22? Yeah, because sometimes it gets redirected out front and it's still going faster than fast, and that you thought you had it lined up and now you don't, and now there's a goal. That's disappointing. But on the same side, on the other side of it, you are at least getting there and making the other team think, is this really a good opportunity or is the defense going to get to it? And I mean, I saw that firsthand when they played Hudson. Granted, Hudson, they're hurting. They're struggling right now. I think they're eighth out of nine teams. Isanti's the last one. But that game against the Dells is going to be huge in the regards of they are one game behind the Minnesota Mullets, who are winning the whole thing right now. They're number one seed. They will have now the exact same record as, and same, hopefully same amount of points if Rapids does beat the Dells, and they will be taking on the number three team in the standings, which is Northwest Express. I think they played each other earlier this season.
Yeah,
I've got the sheet right here.
But, okay, right on.
But
I was going to look it up, and if you got it, right on.
I've got it right here. My grubby little fingers. they played the Mullets for sure, and they lost overtime in the season opener, and they beat them. Isanti, they played twice. They played the Dells Ducks once, and they played the Northwest Express once at the Spooner Civic Center in beautiful Spooner,
yeah.
And they lost 4-6.
Mm.
So what that says to me is, well, they played a close game on the road, and I'd have to take a look and see if it was a empty net goal that decided that otherwise. But they've already been at Poppy Waterman Ice Arena for the Dells, and they beat them 4-2. So you've got that in your mind there. And if you can at least get a split or an overtime loss against Northwest Express, that's going to really help where you want to be, because after that, you're on the road for 6 games up until in about a month when they have back-to-back weekends home against the Blue Ox and Battle Creek. Battle Creek's a cross-divisional game, but the Blue Ox, according to what it was before, they are one of those teams that's right there in the mix too, about fourth place as well. So this is a big weekend of home ice. Get three wins.
Yeah.
And if you can get three wins, you might be sitting at the top spot, and then you go to that other showcase that's down in the Mount Clemens Ice Arena, wherever that is.
But. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to talking to Coach about that one. I'm curious about a couple things when it comes to that. The last time the Dells and Kings faced off, we had 57 shots on goal, which is where this really started standing out to me, obviously. That's an incredible amount for those that don't know hockey. That's insane.
It is.
You don't see that very often at all, let alone we've had at least two games this season with an insane amount of shots on goal, and they're averaging at least 30 to 33 shots on goal, which is, again, a not your average in hockey. It's pretty impressive. Looking forward to seeing the Kings build hockey up and down the river, and looking forward to hearing you calling these men. It's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll try to stop in, or not stop in, but call up on Friday as massaging the throat with good old Mountain Dew there to keep the vocal cords going. Gosh knows I'll need it by the end of Saturday. But that's one where the girlfriend sits there and says, "Oh, it's so nice that you're so quiet."
So she loves it. This is a great game.
She
for
does,
her.
But she doesn't. She does, but she doesn't. She doesn't because it takes me away from spending time with her, just like bow hunting this time of year, and or hunting in general. But at the same time, it's. Oh, she likes a nice quiet.
I did want to mention again, puck drop at 7 this weekend, Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock start times, Northwoods Express. Let's show them what home ice advantage is. Get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com. If you can't make it to the game, we got your back. We have got you over on 105.5 WIRI. Our pregames will kick off about 6:50 over there. Join Michael and Seth for some great coverage and looking forward to it. More on our schedule in a little bit. Did want to also touch on the Milwaukee Bucks for a second. What the what? We'll move on. There's not much to say here. I just wanted to say what the what with the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, what are you doing?
They're playing like deer in the headlights, James.
Oh yes.
And I mean, I hope they look like a deer from my deer stand looking away. But they're getting ready to get hit. you go ahead and do it, James. You can go ahead and do it.
I got to do it. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Nicely done. Nicely done. We're getting winning bells from now on for good puns and good jokes. We're doing that. We need more. All the
keep
jokes
it on a loop. Get. Just keep going.
Yes, just keep going. I do want also, as just getting some news and notes out there, did also want to shout out the Brewers exec. Congratulations to them. I believe the first Milwaukee Brewer to win that award. Matt Arnold, selected Executive of the Year. And I think he's the first time a Brewer has won that award, I think. Congrats to him and a shout out to that franchise. Now, very similar to the Green Bay Packers and a lot of teams in this state, now do something in free agency.
Yep.
Now open up the bank and do something because you got a team that could possibly win. Speaking of teams that could possibly win, looking at the college football playoffs, with the
playoffs,
the CFP rankings
were
announced.
Playoffs?
We're talking about rankings. CFP rankings were announced. And an interesting list. You've got your big hitters up top: Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami at number 5. A little surprising there. Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, Indiana, BYU, Notre Dame, Alabama, Boise State. That will wrap up your top 12. And if the playoffs started today, those would be your 12 teams.
Yep.
We can get in. You out there can go ahead and look into why these teams are ranked where they are and how they got into these top 12 and everything. It's so I don't think it's that complicated, but I also know we don't have that much time.
Right.
So I do want to say, one, I'm glad to see Boise State in there, and it makes sense. Seeing BYU and Boise State in there was a little surprising.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could put Penn State ahead of Indiana. It seems ridiculous to me. All Indiana has done is done everything that you ask out of a college football team. They have not trailed once this season. They have been devouring the talent in front of them, and they've got some pretty nice wins. But all my frustration goes to why Army is not in this. All Army has done is done everything that has been asked of them and beat these teams in front of them and give us one heck of a team. Like, it's a fun team to watch. Army football is actually a lot of fun to watch right now. Got a nice quarterback over there. I understand that Penn State, just off of one loss, should not be knocked out of this thing. I get that BYU deserves to be in there. I understand these things. I understand Notre Dame's got a very talented team and everything. It doesn't make any sense.
Notre Dame shouldn't be anywhere near it.
Notre Dame should not be in the top 12.
No.
I know it's 1 week and any game can happen and one loss doesn't devour you, but it's a big difference of Alabama losing to Georgia or vice versa and Notre Dame losing to NIU. Which is my team. I love Northern Illinois. They had no business being in that game, let alone winning that game.
Right. Boise is about where they're at. And I'm not a big Boise fan. I mean, my dad loved them. They just loved the grit. God rest his soul. But so Boise's about where they should be. Alabama loses one more game, kick them out. Notre Dame loses one more game, for sure, kick them out. They shouldn't even be there in the first place. BYU, well, that's because they're actually in the conference now.
Yeah.
They're playing the Big 12. Yeah. Indiana. They've looked good, but we're going to see what they're made out of playing Michigan, Ohio State, and I think Penn State?
I think so.
All right, I know they got Ohio State and Michigan for sure coming up.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you got those. Tennessee, still playing in the SEC. I think they might get one or two more losses that we'll see where they're at.
Yeah.
Penn State, well, I mean, we'll see. Texas, I hate Texas. I'm not going to mix my words. But they might get another two losses. Then are they worthy of it? Miami, I'm sorry, the ACC. Come on. They should be in there if they run the table.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Florida State should have been. Mm-hmm. But if they're not, well, if they suffer two for sure, one, I bump them right around that 213 line. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, I got no problem with any of those three there being where they are.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out because I want to see if Army, I want to see if teams like that, Ole Miss, I want to see if they can actually get in. I don't know if they will. I don't even know. And to be honest, you know, I'm doing this a little bit for talk. I don't know if they actually deserve to be in there. I think it's a cool storyline.
I'd love to see. I'm with you. I'd love to see Army do it. But I don't think they will because
one of the 12 best teams in the whole country.
Yeah. Are they really one? I mean, will they give any of those 12 fits? Yep.
Yeah,
but are they good enough to string together those four extra wins? Man, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough call. That's a tough one. We will find out, of course. We will talk about it, too, on Playmakers here at WFHR. I'm not sure what happened with our computer there, so we don't have a weather for you, but we'll just get going. We'll just go ahead and get going. We only got a handful of minutes left before the end of the show, so I want to make sure that we get some time in here. But the weather out there is cold. It's cold, everybody. I mean, it's November. Come on.
It's better than it could be.
yeah, it is.
We don't have snow, so, yeah, I mean, there's a plus.
There we go. Yeah, there you go.
Stopped raining for once.
There is your good story right there, everybody. Michael and James here with you to wrap up the show. But we will still take your call, 715-424-2600. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing sponsoring. Want to take a look at the college and NFL schedule and look at our schedule for the week ahead. Our schedule is looking good, everybody. A little bit later today, you've got a back-to-back coaches show. In just a couple of minutes, the Greg Gard show will kick off. Looking forward to hearing from the Wisconsin Badgers head basketball coach, seeing what he's got to say about the short season so far. And then we have the Wisconsin Hockey Hour talking Badger hockey at 7:05 today. Both those shows every week right here at WFHR. Thursday, Wisconsin men's basketball. That long rivalry against Montana State continues.
That could go either way.
It should be an interesting one. I do like the way the Badgers basketball team is playing so far in a very young season.
One game.
I like what I saw. 6 o'clock start time for the Badgers hosting Montana State this Thursday. Friday, we'll have playmakers for you from 5 to 6. Get you ready for the weekend and some great hockey weekend. It's a puck weekend, everybody. Got Wisconsin men's hockey hosting Minnesota 6:30 right here at WFHR. Friday at River Kings at 7 o'clock, we'll have the Northwest Express taking on our Kings. Mike and Seth will have that one for you on Friday and Saturday. We'll also have that second game of the Badgers hosting Minnesota at 5:30 on Saturday. And then everything wraps up on Sunday with Wisconsin men's basketball hosting App State, 10 a.m. start time for that one. So we're going to get you some basketball early in the day. Looking forward to that. Taking a look at the college and NFL schedules, like this time of year, and like we've been saying the last couple of weeks, you got some pretty interesting games, and you got some dogs out there. You got some games that don't look that great.
Yeah.
Number two, Georgia against number 16, Ole Miss is certainly a headline. Yeah. Miami and Georgia Tech has, if they win, they're bowl eligible. And, good, and you know, good. That's something that they're going to be playing for. That could be a good one right there. It does seem like ACC games are interesting at the very least, just because they seem to be a bit competitive. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, you got, of course, Alabama and LSU. That's the one right there. I suppose that's the one that we're going to be circling here.
One that did kind of stand out to me was, Michigan, Indiana. I mean, that's the okay.
Sure, yeah.
Where was it? Colorado at Texas Tech. Texas Tech just came off of a really big win, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they beat, I believe it was Iowa State.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, that's a big win. I mean, they got to go to Lubbock. Granted, high elevation, cooler weather. That's nothing new to the fight in Deion Sanders, but
yes.
But that should be a good one too. I mean, 6-2 versus 6-3.
Oh yeah,
Maryland, Oregon. The other one that I should have said, but my phone didn't scroll up high enough, was Purdue at Ohio State.
Yeah.
That one, for whatever reason, Purdue, per didn't, per don't, per can't. they are a thorn in the side of the Buckeyes.
Yeah, they are.
It's not even a trophy game.
Yeah,
but they are trouble.
Somehow. I do like the Nevada-Boise State game, too. Nevada's had a nice season. That could be an interesting one. I like Tennessee. I like their team. I like Mississippi State has been pretty good. So that could be an interesting one as well. Taking a look at the NFL docket for this weekend. Some interesting games.
Thursday night might be tolerable.
Anytime Cincinnati and Baltimore play, Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow go up against each other, I feel like it's must-watch TV. I want to see that. That should be a good one right there. Broncos and Chiefs. You were talking about the Broncos before being one of those sneaky teams in the AFC. You see how they match up.
Yep, the Steelers and the Commies, or Commanders, you want to call them. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a good one.
Lions and Texans. Ooh, that's Sunday Night Football.
Boy, that's going to be a doozy.
That should be good.
And the Rams and Dolphins, those are four and four, 2-6. That's two teams starting to get healthy again.
Yeah.
That's something I'm looking forward to. I'm kind of looking forward to the Eagles and the Cowboys just because I want to see Mike McCarthy cry again.
It's almost like...
Not because I hate Mike McCarthy, because I don't.
Yeah, but it is fun to watch.
I want to see Jerry Jones' veins in his neck and forehead pop out. Yes. That's always fun. Buccaneers 49ers.
Yes.
That's going to be a good one.
That's the one I had circled. That's
going to be a good one. I wish I could say the Bears Patriots would be a good one, but I really don't think it's going to be a very fun one to watch.
If you want to torture yourself, if you're a football fan and you love football, but you don't like all that scoring, all that awesome plays,
I hope they both have fun.
You know, exactly. Yeah. I don't know about that. I'm barely going to be paying attention as a Bear fan to that one. But it should be. It is a chance for both teams to, get right against the. Both teams are telling each other, hey, this is a team we can beat. Hey, this is a team for our young rookie quarterback to get some reps and
absolutely.
Maybe so that part of it could actually be interesting. What is going to be very interesting is what is going on tomorrow night over at Bullseye Golf Club, the 2024 WRASC Award Celebration. I cannot encourage you enough to attend this. Support local, everybody. Support the sports, the Sports Commission. We had them in on Monday talking about this. Randy and I had a great conversation with Ken. I encourage you to get your tickets. Take this in. The social will be from 6 to 7. Presentation will be at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. And it's something that we want the whole community to be a part of. Get your tickets and be a part of this, and we will meet you there tomorrow. Michael, great show today.
Hey, it's always fun being here with you.
We'll be back with more Playmakers on Friday right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on this...